she once told me the worst day of her life was the day she traded her Lincoln Continental for $50. She throws darts like a baseball overhanded. She makes up little voices for red ants and kitchen cupboards and cell phone wallpapers, anything that grows. When she gets on stage, perhaps she'll show you her jellyfish or another totem of her repertoire of hand puppetry. Mira's longest work is set in Eden, and one of the subject's first statements is this: "And my face flew off. I was standing in paradise without a face." sic erat scriptum on the exclamation marks. This is akin to what we get in her poetry elsewhere: a startled joy, a terrifying and small set of pleasures, a speaker who may mold a basin for the oceans, or kindness, perhaps a jar to hold two loose buttons in, or a dulcimer. Like Mira, the speakers are doting and proclaim themselves to be such. Mira loves sports, but is considerate to a fault. She's responsive to the meekest cues. She'll tell you, "I don't want to play foosball. I want to see your new ratchet set." She is sympathetic and easily moved. I've seen her mood shift over the smallest tragedy, a baby squirrel as roadkill, any mention of the Lindsay Lohan Samantha Robson debacle. In her work, we get speakers with instincts telling them something is awry, and they present their sufferings to us. This is my windstorm. This is my hail. But they know they must grin and bear it, must take their seats in the center pew with fingers as cracked as a salt flats and its whalebones. Mir told me today, "I hope there's a note in this introduction about how fly a dancer I am." The speakers in our poems are shipwrecks, they are ripe, they chronicle snowplows, they compost their own limbs, they are sea serpents. In her sonnets, there are filibusters and Frankenstein. In her free poems, there are men with baseball bats the speaker must casually kill. Someone's wounds are starlings, you spot a merganser. Everyone has his or her own one. She writes, "I was there alone without resolve." She writes, "Which way is out?" Please welcome Mira.
Into the window of a boat. It's too cold for ballet and curtsies. finding holes in our pockets and making the best of our inaccuracies, the enemy or uncared for back entrances, the stink of piss, our actions, finding firmness in citrus fruits clumped with dirt. Appreciate the view and company, the texture of shells, armor rippling, ribbed carapace or prosciutto, or scum under fingernails. Lose the haughty gait. Wait in the coat room, in secret, waiting what offerings we make our hands into hollows, and blowing hard to put one out. No water, but learn your name, but hard candy. Our teeth are unusually a small victory, a day without misery, supple or sandpaper, half asleep for nothing. Second one. Trumpet blaring fouled the afternoon against us. A baton unpassed is the jettisoned jet stream, is cocoons. The meantime, an echoing and a false, cocoons are falling. A pine needle kind of bristling, a found campfire. To a melody, it falters, cavorts. Get your guns ready, say Ali Ali oxen free. Hum, ghosts are for the feeble. What else for the feeble? The traffic, a streetlight, a drift of plastic deer figurines is sick. It's dying next to another dying drift. It's finding the wishy-washy and the most established in the night without review, without jury. We only speak in arsons, and the time spent burrowing into the arbitrary, the closely knit, is molting. Mildew on a buried cat, we're cowering gradually. Pointed out to us, tell the truth about what you've read aloud or under a bulb surrounded by mosquitoes. We are our blisters, our treatises forged. Experience as a creative writer, which is awesome. I wanted to open, I guess, with a poem that is a found poem of sorts, where I was driving down King Street in Port Chester between where I lived and my college, and I passed by a woman in a Mercedes SUV with a mannequin in the passenger seat. This poem is called Martha Buys Happiness. Martha climbs into her Mercedes, slides the key into the ignition, turns it over, and hears the foreign purr her late husband afforded. She looks to her right, and Benjamin is slumping a little toward her, his lips beckoning. Sit up, dear, she says playfully, tussling his hair and fixing his Ray-Ban aviators. His youthful tan radiates Abercrombie, and she's in love for the first time in her life. He never ages, he never fights back, she thinks, and he doesn't have a secretary. She kisses him timidly on the cheek, leans back, puts the car in gear, and goes. The sign before the ramp says, passenger cars only. As she takes a slight right while putting her hand on his knee, she's saying, that is most fortunate for us, Benjamin. You're out of spare. Let me read. I swam the liquid rich declivity and was cleanly whisked away. Its banks were movie screens, playing a life. A lanky boy traveled abroad, just a tin pot hat and sack. I thought, here is Johnny Appleseed, whistling a tune. His smile grew wide, became the film and Riverside. He was throwing grapefruit through and through car windows. That smile was infectious. I fought the current, climbed the bank. I found a nursery, his bitter fruit, and shattered glass embedded in bark and ground, the trees strewn at intervals, evergreen rows roughly lining a dirt street, some clustered behind the ruins of buildings. But each grew at an odd angle, twisted out of dome braces, as though screaming duplicity out of the empty spaces, as though a fire raged inside, and they were too high to jump or not to. My bare feet stepped forward, unwittingly toward the ripe orbs, while the arrows of a citrus-scented ghost that glowed. Moving into postgrad. Lux ex tenebris. Once grandly courted by finest suitors, you wore garments that brought tears to my eyes because I could not touch them. From the little shell I plucked you out of carefully, imprinting you with my scent and face, I recalled the bird-like frailty of your shoulders, the downy countenance of your smile singed, the bird sing still of her body. For I had chanced to touch an imprinted constancy of music through fire for the vibrato waltzes and superheated waves. In the act of touching tenderly, the circuit closed, and from you shone a beacon that pierced me. Fairhaven. Pages of wave breaks thumbed the shore, algae blossomed like a virus. A merganser's blush flashed in the reeds, something noticed, followed. Insects bore into the trees, the bluffs quietly asked to sit. Climbed below an outcrop in time to see a rock dove erode. Clouds rolled over to expose themselves. I was there alone, without resolve. Curse within me, my solace. The bowl-like crest is sharply edged. Our feet are tired. We are transplanted here. The turbulence seems minute. Vernal youth in winter's gauge. The weakness left my hand friend. Diligence returned, this letter confirmed. Sun was in the faces of the trees. At midday, nothing slowed. The flowers hummed. Listen. They're seeing in the water the warm silt, the fish, and the currents, swirling in their patterns, their crescendos and tempered lows, now here, in this curtain of rain, as I part and enter myself. PBR. Lagoon power. This just in, we've got a crew out taking in water under the bridge over troubled water. The plants eat sunlight, causes cancer, causes debt, or death comes to those who wait in line at the grocery store of nuts for the winter of my discontent over today's music is like yesterday's weather is hit or miss. Your ringing laughter is the best medicine. Should be free to leave at earliest convenience store and pick up toilet paper. Won't write itself with pity. You're not feeling well met, sir. You drop this as your last warning before we call the cops. Are on their way, is lost and foundered before the rocky shore where it is beached and they are drowning in midair where gravity is the same as here but louder. A sonnet. To braid the hair that braids the light to joy into a knot that satisfies dark's mood. Is to brave to knot the night and day alloy alchemically upon your fair hair's hood. Still more, your borealis acts as a shield against that I might stretch my hands toward, and clutching their find is not to yield, and pitching off the starry mound forward, fall headlong into empty, fainting mists, where suddenly bearings are demagnetized, and sense is merely the shadow of gists. No, save this for another, polarize, for I have not the courage to muster. I surrendered myself at the filibuster. The Lady in White. To conflate death and passing time in densest concentration, the pomegranate saccharine seeds that took from me and settled down, down into the underworld, my dearest little light, and stripped, no borrowed, discourteously, the wholeness of my love. What is left? It is behind the doors with seldom tested jams where I sit in linen white and blue net worsted shawl and wait for him to visit me, my master and my molar, to return to me the buttercups and fields I'm hoisted o'er. Also PBR. I'm sorry. My throat's drying up. Ahab. Dragging its leg away, your heavy, severed voice, Dragging its leg away, your heavy severed voice binds us. Its weakness is my thrill. I will dismantle you and I will devour you. I will make you regret. The leg is my reward, my price, but you will never know me, my sawing jaws. Your warning, temper your fury. Temper your abbas to the dawn of my demise. We am and are without your temporal afflictions. We legend, we kraken and sea serpent detest thee and know. Your anger, the first child, will flee you in your moment of need. We despise you, detest your obstinance. Instead, remember the second child, rejoinder of your loins. It is the darkness that addles my night sphere and enters my dreams as more than plague. It is in me to throttle or snuff, to separate myself, he and she and they, from my own being, but to trust the question that is always asking. An Arcadia ego. Last night, as I slept, the Arcadian shepherd stole into my room and sat until just before dawn. They made a small fire and chewed coarse bread, speaking softly about their lives. The taller one rose and stretched his arms toward the ceiling as he coughed into a cloth he kept in his pocket and infused the room with the smell of grass and sweat. Finally, collecting their small bundles, extinguishing the coals with the water from my nightstand glass, they climbed out of the window, taking me with them. I dreamt in the fury of a maze. I tended its hedges rigorously, constantly reordering them to confound my captives, who meandered like unmannered somnambulists through passages with no egress. One like you entered, and I stalked her as closely as childhood. She breathed the air of my plants, her pores made for an immaculate vantage. I settled there, where I could sense her ambition was equal to my own, and rested my head against her chest, watching her silently as she moved deeper into my dark warren, in awe of her fluidity and sureness, whispering, "Try to remember a time when you felt whole. Tell me everything, leaving spaces where there are secrets. Let absence speak the truth of you." Charybdis in love. In me, the rounding of weather patterns, sun flares, need and want and contentment never, because the hunger, because a psyche can be a bolero, as compelling as romance. There was the unrequited the drawing in, the absorption, I mean, in a blink, in composure, as concrete as the eyes shift to reflect the seas reflecting massive galleons, all firing into confusion, cannons, pistols, arcing to distort themselves, masts reaching, swirling, and carefully cupped hands as they begin to part. Short playlist, Billy and Nina. A siren reels as her song rebounds, jamming in the barrel of her throat. Unsung, trapped, its volition bursts as whips and burrs and seafoam, harmless, itself lapping at the promontory of my sensibility to isolate myself and preserve in cells each element's rejoicing, its cacophony, life's work, violence. What is destroyed must be re-envisioned. The membrane of these cells erupt with the scent of an embalmer. Crescent pulse, the delicate cup of my hand as I press it to yours. At first, you interpret its presence as silence. Slowly, in translucence, its symphony breaks to you. Your eardrums, a world apart, begin to harmonize in it, collapse the synapse of your worry. The cornet is no harbinger, becoming blat and spit valve of an evening. We shed its melody and an egress of speech, the dictation.
What kind of beer are you drinking?
also PBR. Thank you, Brian. Thanks. Should we falter? In your extremities, we touch nearly the cusp of longing. Frills, scales, the textures always elude. When held to cheek or chest, the tension diffuses almost. And was it not but an ephemeral leaning in, swaying, we knew waveringly the sun-ripened ardor would not span years between us. Light, where edgeless phalanxes of darkness impinge, even while receding, they attempt to redouble while you ignite the earth. How old were you when you first learned to form smoke signals? What was the message? Through me, you go to be simpler. Would you be let down again if I said we could not be translated, but only made riddles to twist away squarely in the middle of fruition? We know we lost our footing in the thought. I only have traced this room, though I have felt it shift. This marble tomb enters transition beyond the throw of torchlight. Okay, next something a little longer, which some questions have been raised about, but that I hardly edited after the questions were raised. The Valley of the Dry Bones. Rolled tightly, his hand proffered a scroll. On it was written immense lamentations of woe and hardship for that most rebellious clan, that most rebellious house, and for me. He said, "Eat this, what I give you, so they will know there's a prophet among them." Taking it, turning its flavors over my tongue, I was struck with the odd sensation as the hand vanished. In presence, I was as speechless as I could not be elsewhere. Elsewhere, I was alone in the call. To arms, to legs, to neck, and wretched, retching grin, a sound commotion rattled out of death, of heaps and heaps of blanketed, cleaned whiteness that so still had been a moment ago, but now was hacking to itself, clearing its throats that a moment ago were empty spaces, were silent, then were raw with redness so pure it solicited rust's unmoving attention. Where vessels were moving in them, where hearts and eyes and tongues and touch were my witness to standing again, were breathing testaments to my own breathlessness. Then he spoke. "Son of man," he called me, and I nearly buckled, but stood as was required. He said to all the freshly reformed ears, thousands and thousands of them, "Now we establish the everlasting covenant." My own ears there was no reformation for, just heat and ringing and ringing. We were us, were the ones sacrificed for a hungry populace, besieged and besought with the grief of aloneness that lasted more than 700 days, entire lives. Some of us, less than a month old, were brought back screaming, as we had done, as first that natural light had beset our dark sodden mole's eyes. Some of us, too old or too weak to throw our piss over the walls at the Babylonian horde waiting patiently beyond, were expected to take our own lives so the soldiers could eat. Religious fervor and fevers made us almost eager to oblige, and on the other side there was the promise of whiteness. Turns out, this side and that side, whiteness. There are many kinds of whiteness that we all can attest to. There's the whiteness you at first see, then develop a taste for. It is the hallowed hollowness that swells out of nothing. At least, to be said of the blankness of our palate, none of us were hungry anymore. There's hollowness you can touch and hollowness you can carry. Eventually, the blankness becomes so that one is it, all are it. In a rippling moment, the absence began to evaporate. Terror and pain replaced its nearly banal comfort with hues we had not felt in white ages. We were uninterred from our white earth and given color. And what were we in the scheme of lost years? And what were we in the promise of our ancestors being recast, gilt and copper that tasted like blood, still bitter with the lung? Typhon. Snake-limbed, flashing, dark-tinged blood tongue. skull and thunderheads, monstrosity, inexcusable. Before him, all scatter and are struck from. Is it in him, this fear, this acrid destruction, and molten, flowing? In his conception, he conceives Cerberus, Hydra, Sphinx. There are more. But look, one has risen to a tantrum, this tantrum, an epitomic champion, a prototype, who will bury beneath rock after exchange of tendon, a labor delivering Edna. Just a couple more, then we can all drink a lot.
Yeah. Will you be my doobie?
What?
Will you be my doobie?
No. Sorry. From the tea leaves of your dreams, foretell it, the dismantling of the morning, of our breath and its anonymity. Move farther from your home, from your name, first, sloshing the addictions of your father around the bell of chastity, your solitude. Variously, barter embroidery samples for rough slices of meat which you clean with your skillful fingers, the mealy substance of your eyes. Worry is the decadence of knowledge, unfettered by the sense of being alive. Sessile lover, come closer, please. Our background is a meteor shower of apologies, though our hands shake the efforts of our mouths to seem polite. The crow splash of bubonic worry cascades down the moors with a whimper of will to regain a word, building in our glands like cement. Slowly, we see it. A kaleidoscope of longing dressed in this cardboard tube revolves, spills colors against the light we face. Blind outside the refraction, the camphor of your scent hearkens nearly before it wisps away and exhale. In the beginning, a memory, the birth of revulsion, revision, non-semblance, and the gentleness of forgetting. A chill, then nothing, as I step off the platform into darkness.